Hi, this is Roy Worley. Welcome to the interview show that brings on guests from all walks of life. Yeah, it's here that they tell their stories and delve a little deeper into their lives to see what got them where they are. So grab a drink, have a seat, and relax, because this is the Leo Effect.
So you finally made a name for yourself. Congratulations. But how do you get your name out to the world? Turn to WorldStar PR. The caring, honest, and invested team at WorldStar PR will get you maximum exposure through podcasts, TV, radio, amazing press releases, and red carpet events. They'll ensure that you are worldwide. Jimmy Starr, entertainment guru, and Eileen Shapiro, rock star journalist, will give you the world. So come join the likes of legendary actor Ron Russell, iconic musicians Scott Page and Fred Schneider, world-class designer Sue Wong, TV personality Mickey Burns, and so many more. Check them out on Facebook or on their website, jimmystarsworld.com/WorldStarPR. WorldStar PR, where the world revolves around you.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another episode of The Leo Effects. Now, tonight, my guest is very special. We have some mutual friends in common, and I've been pretty excited to have her on since they told me that she'd be coming on the show. I don't get enough authors on the show, and they're always so creative and so vibrant, and this guest is nothing short of that. So please allow me to introduce my guest for this evening, Vicky. How are you?
I'm great. Fantastic. I'm excited to be here. So very excited.
Perfect. And, you know, I have some questions for you. Nothing too crazy, but we're going to talk about, your books that you've written and anything that might be coming out. And we're going to get to the meat and potatoes of all of this. But I kind of want to get to know you a little bit better first.
How many hours do we have now? Teasing, of course.
Absolutely.
Sure. Whatever you'd like to do.
Well, I think first and foremost, we should start off, obviously, I announced already, you are an author, which is amazing.
Yeah.
But when did you first realize that you wanted to become an author and a writer?
Late in life. I've always been a reader. And sure, I wrote in college and things like that. But it was around 1990 when a bunch of really awful things happened. People dying, my dog dying. And I got so glum that for some reason I started to write a novel. And it was terrible. Let me assure you, it was quite awful. But I did. I finished the whole novel, and I realized I had been severely bitten by the bug. So that really was when I began.
Okay. How long did it take you to write that first book?
I hand wrote it.
Oh my.
Took months.
Wow.
The first three novels I wrote, I hand wrote. And finally, I forced myself to write on the computer because it was really ridiculous, you know. And now, of course, I do it two ways now, actually. I write on my Mac laptop, but I also sometimes speak on my iPad. I write verbally.
Okay. So voice to text stuff?
Yes, exactly. Voice to text. And there are always mistakes. So after I finish, some of the words that come out are on the paper are just amazing. So then I am almost immediately translated to my computer. So I don't forget what I meant, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So I use those two methods and write all the time. I write every day. So.
Oh, okay. Well, how long does it take you to write a book now compared to the first one you ever did?
Well, that's a really interesting, to me anyway, as a writer question, because I can, especially if I'm speaking it, I can write a whole book in a month. And you say, well, that's fast. You should have a lot of books out. Well, I'm a writer, and that to me isn't the part. That isn't the thing. It's important, obviously, but I then have to go in and muck it out. Sort of like if you've ever cleaned a horse stall, it's a lot like that. Mm-hmm. And I work, and it can take me 9 months to a year.
Oh, okay.
To finish the book. Yeah. It takes me a lot of time because I research, I edit extensively. That first draft for me, some writers are great. They can do a first draft and bam, it's a great draft. They need a quick edit and there they go. I am not one of those writers. Yeah, not even a little, you know. I edit heavily. I mean, I do. To me, really, the work of writing is in the editing, not in that first draft.
Right, absolutely. I would agree with that. And where do you get your ideas and your inspirations from? Do they just kind of come to you, or are they drawn from something in real life or a movie or something?
All of those and more, truly. I mean, again, I was married to a very prolific writer who has passed away, and he wrote 50 books, and he agonized over ideas, finding the right idea. I'm the opposite. I have 8,1200 ideas in my head at all times, so I have to sort of pick which moves me. For my current series, not the previous two, is sort of odd because you know that time when you're falling asleep at night and you're not awake completely, but you're not asleep yet. That's where I thought up the idea for my current series.
Oh, cool.
So that was unusual. That was different than the other books. But I almost always start with the question, what if?
That's a really good question.
Right. And then the next question I ask after is what does he or she want, the main character? Because without those questions, it's really hard for me to write a book.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's it.
Cool.
That's what I do.
Well, a lot of writers, especially who kind of write, not necessarily in the genre you do, but that write these interesting tales, they have quirks about them. Do you have any like interesting quirks that you do?
Many. I don't know. Do I have any interesting quirks? Well, let's see. I mean, I've done in years past many interviews and no one has ever asked me that question. And I love it. What are my quirks? Well, this really isn't a quirk, but the idea of when I'm writing and I write, I'm what's called a pantster, P-A-N-T-S-T-E-R. And then there are the plotters, P-L-O-T-T-E-R-S, pantsters and plotters. Plotters, often they'll outline, they'll storyboard their, the book before they write. Pantsters, and there are combinations, of course, of all of this. Pantsters sort of get in the Ferrari and turn it on and go. And that's sort of what I do. When I have those two questions, what if and what does she want? I just write. So it's like sort of it does feel like a race car at times. And then other times, it's really more of an obstacle course where I often end up in the swamp or I often end up on a ride and there's no way out. So quirks, well, I write in bed. Does that count as a quirk?
I feel like that kind of does. Yeah. Most people, you imagine most writers sitting at, a desk or in a library typing away and all of this, but sitting in bed, that seems kind of interesting.
Yeah, I've done all that. I've done the desk for many years. I wrote at a desk. I've written in various spots. And yet I wrote in bed maybe 30 years ago. And then when I moved to LA, my big computer wasn't set up. So, and I was writing a book. So I wrote in bed again. And I said, this is where I should be. I can't have music on either. Any noise. I can't have noise.
Okay. All right. So it's got to be silent.
Write, Yeah, well, I mean, not ridiculous. I'm not in the cone of silence or something, but no noise, no TV, no other people. And that's how it has to be. And again, writers are also different. Friends, they always have music on, you know,
right,
when they write. And it just scrambles my brain. I can't write. So I guess that's quirky, is it?
I wouldn't say it works. I don't know. I wouldn't call it necessarily quirky, but I definitely call it an interesting way of doing it because it's not conventional. And I like that.
Well, I guess I've never been a particularly conventional person. So I guess it just never occurred to me. I will say this, though, when my son, as I mentioned, about 30 years ago, I used to write in bed,
mm-hmm,
and then I stopped. But my son, I still have it, a drawing he did of our family. So the boys are playing basketball. They're kids. They're little kids. You know, they're like 12 and 14. They're playing basketball. Their father is coaching them. And what do you think I'm doing in the drawing? I'm writing in bed.
That's perfect. I love it.
So, yeah, I love it too.
That's cool.
I do. But you have to have a good mattress.
Oh, absolutely.
Writing in bed without a good mattress.
Right. I mean, you know, if you're going to be writing something like that and doing something that takes a lot of your time and your effort and concentration, why not be comfortable, right?
I agree completely.
Exactly.
Yes, I do.
So do you have any advice that you would give to a brand new writer who's trying to make their way in this career?
Oh, lots. I have lots of advice. I taught writing at Clark University for 6 years, which really honed my thoughts, particularly on my career and my work and other people's. And number one, and some of these you will read on, say, Stephen King or other famous writers, because I am not saying I created these. Number one, you have to read. Now, that sounds sort of simplistic and obvious, but I have had several students over the years come up to me and I'll say, well, what do you like to read? And they'll look at me, they want to write a novel. They're in my writing the novel class. And they'll look at me and say, oh, well, I'm not much of a reader. Well, the problem with that is you see things and feel things when you read, and there's a rhythm and there's an understanding that becomes a part of you that a writer who doesn't read books has a problem with. I mean, that's a problem. Mm. You know, it's like jumping into the ocean, but you don't know how to swim type of thing.
Yeah.
The other thing that to me is so important, because writing is an art, but it's a craft too. It's not just an art. You don't just emote. And the other thing, so, is that write every day. Just like a tennis player develops muscle memory, I believe writers develop muscle memory. And, you know, there are plenty of days when I write when it's awful. It's terrible. But I've worked those muscles, and I have a place to start the next day. So those are two things. I have lots more, believe me.
Well, those are two really, really good pieces of advice. I think that they're both very relatable and very good.
Oh, and the writing every day thing. Let me add one thing. Set a small goal, like 250 or 500 words. That's not much in terms of a novel. It's a small goal that it's doable in like a half hour. You know, it's so don't say, well, I'm going to write 20 pages today. And that's overwhelming. You know, that could be overwhelming.
Right. I could see that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of, you know, writing novels and your advice that you would give to somebody who's just starting out, I think I'd like to kind of shift things over a little bit and talk about your new series. Was it book one is coming out in August 12th?
No, book two. Book two is coming out in August.
Oh, okay.
Book two is coming out at the end of July or the beginning of August. Book one came out last August.
Last August, okay.
Last August, yes. And it's called, well, the whole series is the Made One Saga, and it started with What If? And, you know, I'm not exactly a chippy anymore. I don't know, is that an un-PC word? Uh-oh. Well, anyway, I'm not. And so I thought, what if a woman had her body that was, say, 25 years old, but she had all her memories, all her, in other words, all the, let's say she was 70, and she had all those memories, but she had a body, her 25-year-old body. Mm. How would she react, you know? Because so much is body, with women particularly, and men too, Ray, of course, but, you know, is body image, is hair, is makeup, and, you know, so how would a woman react? Because mentally, she's, however, the women in these books that I'm writing are in their 50s.
Okay.
But they are pulled to a parallel world, which is parallel worlds are considered a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
Scientists, and she's pulled to a parallel world, and she, each one doesn't know what's happened, but they've been recreated. So they have, they're themselves, they have all their memories, but they're in their youthful flesh.
I see.
So, yeah, but then there's always my books, all of my series, from my mysteries to my urban fantasy to this series, they always have murders and action and stuff, you know, stuff goes on. This is, you know, this is not an introspective, you know, there is introspection, but it's really about how they react to the parallel world. What's the same, what's different. And you know, as I said earlier, you know, so each one wants something different. Each one needs something different. They're three sisters.
Oh, okay.
So it's been, I mean, I'm passionate about writing and about writing them. And it's, I don't know, just important to me. It's a guiding point in my life.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You've said that you've written, you know, mysteries and other genres of books before. Do you have one particular genre that's just your favorite, or do you like all of them equally?
Well, the thing is, I started out writing mysteries. I was married to a mystery novelist, William Tapley. That's not why I started writing mysteries, but it so happens I was. Mm-hmm. And, well, actually, my first book was a romance. That's not true. My first book, my first three books were romances. And then I segued into mysteries. And then somehow I ended up writing an urban fantasy. And then this series came along. I guess what I'm trying to say is I sort of write what I want. And then decide on the genre. I don't really think. But that's just me. You know, I love writing mysteries. Oh, they're you know, I love mysteries. But I love my urban fantasy series, and I love this series. I'm having so much fun because, you know, it's a parallel world. So it's like Earth, physically, much of it. But the people and the creatures, and there's magic and science, and, you know, it evolved. The world evolved differently than our Earth. And so I try, you know, not overtly, but I do address things that bother me. Like the world is called Ilusha, and there are animal clans. All the people, with the exception of one clan, are in an animal clan, and they're symbionts with that animal.
Okay.
You know, it, so they don't become the animal or anything. They're not shapeshifters. But they, like, right now I'm writing Changed, which is the book that's about to come out, takes place, much of it, in the cat clan. And so the clan members can draw power from their cats. Their sense of smell, their sight, things like that. But in return, the animals are sentient. They draw power from their human people. And so not all animals on the planet are sentient, but the ones that are symbionts are.
Gotcha.
So it's sort of, I love animals, and they're, the world is more respectful of the earth because of their closeness to the animals. And so that's part of my DNA where, you know, I love animals. I love the earth and feel it's so important that we take care of Mother Earth.
Absolutely.
So that, stuff like that. But I don't write to theme ever. There are each of my books has a theme, but I never sit around and think about the theme.
Okay, that's fair.
Well, it emerges. You know, books, I mean, some writers write to theme. As I mentioned, there are a billion ways to write a book. Some writers write to theme. They have a theme and then they write the book. Whereas my themes emerge as I'm writing. So, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, you had mentioned earlier that you're a pantser and not a plotter. So
right.
I'm curious. When you begin writing your story, like in this one, for example, you said it came to you in that kind of transitional sleep state.
Yes. Yes.
So do you know where you're driving the Ferrari, or are you just driving for driving's sake?
Well, I know each book is different. With this book, of course, it's the second in the series, so I knew who it was going to be about and where it would take place, specifically the Cat Clan. So I knew that, but I guess the short answer is I have no clue.
Okay. All right. So you don't know where this is going to close out after the entire series is done. It'll just evolve and get there when you get there.
Well, there's this. I haven't, again, this developed in the first book. It emerged. I have an overarching plot. Each book is a standalone. Each book has its own story. But for the series, and this is common with series, there's an overarching plot where one of the clans is called the Alchemic Clan. They're the science clan. They develop technology and, you know, anything scientific, growing plants, plant food, whatever. And they do not have animal symbionts. Well, the Alchemic Clan has grown in power in the past 250 years, and they've become really puppeteers, trying to shape the planet to do what they wanted to do. And they have a hold over the other clans because of the technology. So there's this overarching plot to get to end the Alchemic's control of Volusia.
Okay.
So that's ongoing. You know, that is going, but that will end book three. At the end of book three, there will be a resolution of that plot.
Okay. Well, that it looks amazing. The cover art is absolutely beautiful. And
I love my artist is, you know, I've had three different cover artists. My first cover artist was from Norway. My second cover artist was from Poland, and this, because I have for different series and reasons. This series, my cover artist, frankly, I don't know where she lives. I have no, I mean, she's not an English speaker natively, you know?
Okay.
She writes beautifully. She's fine with her writing, but it's not her native language. I have a feeling she may be in South America, but she's quite shy and I don't push, you know, I'm very good friends with my first artist in Norway, but you know, it's not appropriate to push. And her work, the current work it's so beautiful. She does. You can find her on a website called 99 Designs. It's a good website, a strong website for cover artists and such. And I think she's great.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, she's got great art, and it really makes me want to read the book, honestly. And, you know, kind of perusing your website, I've gone through, and I mean, honestly, Chest of Time has my interest a little bit as well. So
that was my Polish artist.
I mean, they're looking good. They're looking sharp. And,
you know, she was from Poland. My first artist who did the first chess books, that's Chest of Bone Chest of Stone and Chest of Time. There are two more to come. The first artist, who I adore, is from Norway, but she went on to bigger and better things. We're still good friends, but she's doing big, big work with teaching computer art and things like that. Mm. So, yeah, the Chest of Time was really fun to write. I mean, all my books, whether they're mysteries or whatever, have romance in them, you know, because I respect Shakespeare and Dickens, and they all had romance in their books.
Absolutely.
I love them, of course, and I love Jane Austen. And, you know, there are plenty of other things to keep people busy. My books aren't what I would term sweet. You wouldn't finish and say that was sweet. Some of my protagonists, the women, they swear bad. I mean, my current one swears all the time. And in this series that I'm writing now, with it's, let's see, Altered, Changed, and the third one, I haven't quite finalized the title, but all three were circus performers in their earthly lives. And that informs how they are on Alusha. And the one I'm writing now, Brina, she has a mouth, but she's funny and she's good. She's a good person. I mean, I do not write anti-heroes, at least not at the moment. My gals are tough and assertive and kind and, I don't know, multifaceted. That's what I should say.
There
yes,
you go.
They're complex and multifaceted.
I love it. That's perfect. And, you know, I was just kind of talking about how I was on your website and everything. So I think with this last few minutes of the show that we have here, I'd like to open it up to you to tell the listeners where your social medias can be found and, you know, how to get to your website and things like that.
Well, okay. Let me start out by spelling my name, because everyone misspells it. V-I-C-K-I-S-T-I-E-F, as in Frank, E-L. And I mean, I've had my publishers misspell my name too. I'm on Facebook. Oh, yeah. Oh, just everybody. I'm on Facebook under my name, Vicki Stiefel, or Vicki Stiefel Author. I'm on Instagram as Vicki Stiefel, and my website is VickiStiefel.com. I'm now very bored with saying my name. And, you know, I'm pretty active on social media. Have I forgot? Well, I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on Twitter, which I don't use too much, but I am on there. This is so exciting. I'm considering joining TikTok.
Oh,
now you get to ask me why.
Why?
Because Dame Judi Dench performs on TikTok.
Okay, then.
So I just discovered this. She's just a huge favorite of mine. I mean, she was M and James Bond and Queen Elizabeth and everybody else. Mm-hmm. And I just adore her. I can't believe she's 80 something, I think. And she's TikToking away. So I better start looking into that. Don't you think, Ray?
Absolutely. I mean, everybody should be on there. Oh, man.
So,
I love it.
Yeah. And I have a newsletter, and I talk about my books, but I talk about other stuff and, you know, things like Black Lives Matter, which matters to me very much. And, you know, I love talking and hearing from and with my readers. It's just magical. It really is.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, I tell you, having you on the show today has been absolutely magical and amazing, and I've had a really good time talking to you. I want to say thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Well, I want to say thank you so much for inviting me on to Leo FX. It's just lovely. It's so easy to talk to you, and you ask such interesting questions. I can't thank you enough.
Oh, well, you are completely and wholly welcome. And thank you to all the listeners who checked this out, who tuned in.
Hey, yeah.
Yeah. Make sure you go to Vicky's social medias and order the books. Get on board now. I'm going to have to go order it after we get done with this interview so I can get caught up before the next one comes out. Seriously, follow along. This is just from what I have read. This is an amazing bunch of series that she's written. And maybe we can get our hands on that first ever novel. Maybe we can find that somewhere.
Now, it might scare you, Ray. It's really terrible. It's really bad.
Well, it's a big internet out there. I'm sure it might be floating around somewhere.
That's true. It might be.
Of course, don't forget, stick around, keep an eye out, because as soon as Vicky gets a TikTok, I will let you all know. But thank you all very much.
I'm going to do this. I can do this.
I know you can. I have faith in you.
Thank you, Ray.
Thank you to all the listeners, and we'll see you all next time.
Bye.
Now that was an awesome interview. Thanks so much for listening. You all are so great. And don't forget to head to Facebook, Insta, and Twitter and follow The Leo Effects. If you want to hear some comedy and ridiculous voices, check out Shattered Dungeons on YouTube and all other places podcasts can be heard. And you'll hear me voicing crazy characters, usually pretty terribly. So thank you so much. You all are the absolute best. And we will see you all on the next episode.